From the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Packer Transplants Live. I am here with my co-host, with the mo-host, Mr. Corey Behnke, here at CheeseheadTV.com. How the hell are you tonight, Corey?
Not doing so good at 0-1 there, buddy. Not
0-1.
Doing so good at all.
Packer fans everywhere, feeling your pain. Joining us tonight will be Greg Bedard from Sports Illustrated, the MMQB.com, friend of show, sound the siren. Greg Bedard will be with us tonight. But Corey, right now, it's time for a little something-something.
We got the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Jordy Nelson.
Ryan Pickett.
Tim Mastey.
That's the good. We got the bad.
We got the bad. We got Jerron McMillan.
M.D. Jennings.
Mike McCarthy.
That's a lot of bad. And then, how do we end it?
The ugly. Dom Capers.
And I don't want to be that guy. You know, I don't want to be that guy. But I will tell you, the overriding sense that I got after that game was, I am sick of this shit. Dude, I am sick of this shit.
I hear you.
I mean, I don't think I can put it any other way. I am sick and tired of watching an opponent's receiver absolutely destroy a discombobulated secondary.
I will say that the run defense was very surprising.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
I didn't say it was awesome.
At the expense of everything else that's important in football. Namely,
I didn't say it was awesome. I said it was surprising.
The opponent's offense through the air.
Surprising, Nagler. Not awesome.
It was surprising. You are correct in that. And as we said last
something
week.
Something we haven't seen from the Pack.
What did I say last week? They spent all offseason. And this is from the horse's mouth. All offseason, working on their run fits, reworking how they were going to attack the run. Not just, and I know I've seen a lot of people talking about.
And it showed.
Well, a lot of people have talked about how they've spent all offseason working on this game. The 49ers, the read option. No sirs or ma'ams. They were working on the run game. Defending the run, period. And, hello, that came to play. That bore itself out. They absolutely shut down Frank Gore and company.
It's true.
And let's just pause. That's a pretty major achievement for the Green Bay Packers in the last couple of years. They shut Frank Gore down. All right, the feel-good part of the program is over. Now we will get to the ridiculousness that was the pass defense. Because, holy cow, I am sick and tired of watching one receiver cut through our secondary like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah, it's
sick of it, Corey.
Yeah, I mean, especially when it's like the same guy over and over.
Over,
again. You know.
And over.
I kind of get the sense that's how other teams feel about some of our
probably
receivers.
Maybe. But that's
Jordy Nelson again, Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, but that's one game, right? That's one game. How many games have you seen
Anquan
where Jordy
Bolden
Nelson has just taken over?
Not as many as Anquan Boldin taken over.
But not so many as have had happen to the Packers. Was that English? I don't think so.
I know
what I mean. I mean, whether it's, you know,
like you
whether it's
Mike
Reggie
emphasis.
Wayne,
yes.
Whether it's Anquan Boldin,
yep.
Who, Calvin Johnson,
yep.
Whatever. There, and that's the thing. Like, I don't mind it so much. When I think, okay, yeah, Morgan Burnett's out, Casey Hayward's out, okay, fine. Fine, yeah, absolutely. Doing the best you can. I got it. But every other NFL team has injuries.
Yeah,
every
true.
Other NFL team has problems.
Yep.
Every other NFL team has mitigating circumstances.
Yep.
Yet I don't see Reggie Wayne destroying them. I don't
see
400-year-old Anquan Boldin absolutely making them look incompetent.
400-year-old.
I don't see it.
He's not that old, dude.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. He's only 250. He's like Yoda, dude. He's like 900 years old. You reach.
He's
look
like
as good. You will not.
Yoda.
Dude. I mean, come on.
Dude,
I understand.
Not,
okay,
he
wait.
Takes over games. I'm
not,
sorry.
Okay.
He's a superstar
in
wide receiver.
No. Oh, come on. Okay, in 2 weeks.
How is he not a superstar wide receiver? Hold
on. In 2 weeks, we face A.J. Green. That I understand. A.J. Green destroying the Packers? I got no problem with. You know why? Because he's probably the best receiver in the game. Yes, and I'm including Calvin Johnson in that statement. He is probably the best receiver in the game.
Wow.
Anquan Boldin? He's good. He ain't great. He ain't transcendent. He ain't Jerry Rice in his prime. The Packers made him look like such. I'm sick of it, Corey.
I mean, if we're only 0-1, let's slow down for a second.
Oh, hey, we're 0-1. That's right.
Against one of the best teams in the NFL, might I add.
Wait, the team that they have to measure themselves up against as NFC playoff Super Bowl contenders? Is that the team you're talking about?
I didn't actually go away from that game like hating on the Packers so much.
I don't hate on the Packers.
Not even Dom Capers.
I love the Packers. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick.
Yeah, but you've been sick of Don Capers for like 3 years.
No. I have fought off John Rayhor's calls to fire Dom Capers for years. John will back me up on this point. I know you will, John. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of it. Sick of it. Have I mentioned that I'm sick of it?
Yeah, you did.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is how we're going to roll tonight because it's an emotional evening. The Packers are 0-1. Never like that. And we have no script. I got so busy today. Nope. You know, if Ndamukong Suh just keeps his crap together and doesn't cut block Sullivan on the return, on the interception, I don't get busy today. I don't have to do a bunch of stuff in the afternoon. And then I have time to make a transplant script. Unfortunately, Sue's an idiot. He got fined $100,000, and I had to do 2 videos this afternoon, meaning I didn't have time to do a script. So we are completely ad-libbing tonight's show.
Do you know what Aaron Rodgers has to say about that?
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Awesome. Aaron, I couldn't agree more. You're right, Aaron.
Oh, man, I love my toys. Love them.
Putting me in my place, as always.
So let's talk about the good things, the takeaways, the good things from the Packers.
Here we go. You ready? Here we go.
This Sunday.
You ready?
It's more than 5 things.
Okay. I know. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go.
I'm ready.
I'm sorry. Were you going to say something? Because I got nothing. Yeah, no. Okay, I'm kidding.
Come on.
Lots of good stuff.
I'm going to tag you.
We're going to talk about how awesome the running game. Oh, wait. No, we're not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how absolutely pathetic and completely pedestrian and ill-prepared the running game looked and how it looked like every other freaking game we've ever seen Mike McCarthy's team try to run the ball in the last 3 years. That's what it looked like. It looked like all offseason we're talking about how we're going to switch the offensive line around. Yeah, Bulaga got injured. Whatever. You know, we got a new commitment to the running game. We're going to do all this new stuff.
The running game was really cool.
We got this great new running back.
That screen was awesome. Okay, that's one.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
A screen to the rookie for a touchdown.
It wasn't for a touchdown. Okay. And it was
a screen to the rookie for a first down.
Not a running play, but, you know. Yeah, you're right. The passing was awesome. Here's the thing.
Yeah, but
this is not a difficult game, all right? If you can run the ball, you bring one of those safeties down. Once one of those safeties comes down, Aaron Rodgers goes to town.
I know. We talked about this last
week. Now, here's what. Okay.
That you didn't happen, though.
You want to talk about something good?
Yes.
I'll talk about something good.
Yes, I do.
How freaking awesome is Aaron Rodgers? I mean, how awesome is he?
Dude, he did what he did in that game. They didn't even miss a beat.
He did what he did.
That was pretty ridiculous.
Actually. In that game, with those two safeties up all the time.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. Like, not even a hint of, we should worry about Eddie Lacy and the run. No. Because there's no need. Because you know they have no shot. Oh, it's a running play. I, as a safety for the 49ers, can take a play off. Oh, look, they're trying to run the ball. Isn't that adorable?
That's the thing. Like.
But Aaron Rodgers still throws for 3 touchdowns. That's how awesome
he is.
Dude,
we were in that game.
Absolutely. Eight minutes left. 8 minutes
left. Once we took the lead in that game, that was pretty sick.
It was awesome. But then, you know, the defense. Okay, so let's wait.
And
speaking of the defense,
then we lost.
Speaking of the defense, let's talk about Clay Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about
the
ridiculousness that is going around about, first of all.
That he's a dirty
player. Clay Matthews is not a dirty player. Let's all shut the fuck up right now, okay?
Why isn't he a dirty player?
Be- Because he's not, because he knows what the hell he's doing. Now, was the hit out of bounds dumb? Absolutely. He acknowledged as much afterwards. But I found this very interesting. A former NFL player texted me not short after that play happened and said, I loved that. I loved that hit.
Why? Because he was already off the ground before the guy was out of bounds?
No, because I said, why? Why do you love that hit? And he was like, because it lets the 49ers know if Kaepernick's going to run, he is going to get hit. Like, all week there had been talk about it, and you didn't know, like, okay, maybe that
wasn't that kind of playing into, like, the press and, like, the media and all that kind of stuff.
Maybe that was just talk. I mean, no, it wasn't just talk. You are going to get hit. And you saw it later in the game. Kaepernick had a keep play where he got out in the open field. He saw Clay Matthews, and he slid. He was like, I want no part of that. And that's a direct result. Now, all of that said, the 49ers didn't really need or try to run the ball with their quarterback all that much because Kaepernick just sat back in the pocket. The defensive line couldn't get any push.
Yeah.
There was no pass rush at all because Capers didn't want to blitz because he didn't want to get burned.
CM3 had two sacks.
He did, but...
So, that's 32 sacks on the season.
I think didn't he have one sack and then one.
Yeah, I actually for loss? At one time the announcers had said that that he only had one sack and I could have swore he had three. So I bet two were tackles for losses. And that's not because I was drinking. I just think he was really he has those quick flashes where he beats a guy. I mean he's going to be exciting this year.
He read his
it's
keys.
It's going to be a great year for him. Aaron Rodgers.
Randall Cobb.
I mean, exactly what we said he was going to be, what everybody said he's going to be, what his potential.
He was awesome.
That's
dude.
All. There's a lot of good things. I mean, the offensive line thing, I don't know where that's going, but isn't that the Packers every year?
But yes, it is. But and hence,
are we ever like, man, we got that offensive line
sick
thing
of
taken
this
care of.
Shit. Good Lord. Okay. Okay, I'm getting it out. I'm getting it out, Corey Banky.
There's a lot of good. There was
hey,
of
we
good.
Haven't talked about our guest this evening.
Yes.
In about,
who's our guest?
You know, about 15 minutes or so. Oh. We're going to talk to the one, the only, Mr. Greg Bedard. Formerly of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Formerly.
That was so long ago.
The Boston Herald. Now.
That was so long ago.
With the MMQB, standing for Monday Morning Quarterback.
I like your site. I like some of the stuff
they
do.
The design is very cool.
Yeah, I like how you see the
comments. But here's my, okay.
Since, I like it. I like how you see the authors on the side.
Okay, now here's the thing.
It's pretty cool.
So here, Greg's not listening because he's driving right now.
Yeah.
And so I know he's not going to listen to this on podcast, so I can freely rip his website.
He's going to listen to the podcast.
He's not. That's my point. He's not going to. So I can freely rip his, you know, his website. Now here's the problem I have with that website. I don't have time in my life to read a 4 billion word expose on every single subject in the NFL. I just don't.
Why not?
I'm all for the Grantland model. I'm all for long form. I'm all for, yes, that's wonderful, deep dives, wonderful storytelling, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes it's just football. And I just want to know what, where, how, why, and when.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't need, like, he loved his mother, so he dedicated the season and this other thing. And,
but that's Sports Illustrated.
Save the children and, you know.
Isn't that their style?
I guess. But that's, you know, I want football, dudes. That's why Greg's stuff is so good. Because Greg is usually, like,
Greg's all football,
X's and O's, breaking it down.
Yeah, he had some breakdowns. It was pretty cool.
That's what he does, man. And that's why he will be here later in about 12, 15 minutes. We're going to call him. And we're going to talk some Packers, some NFL. We'll see what's up. So, Corey.
Yes.
You look at the Packers.
Yes.
They're 0-1.
Yes.
They're facing another 0-1 team in the Washington
Redskins.
I'm actually,
I said this on Twitter, I'm actually, I don't take teams like the Washington Redskins very lightly. Like, people are like, they watch things on TV, they look, and it's like, everybody watches that. Their parents watch that. Like, once you get embarrassed,
right,
whatever, like, little extra you needed is all there for you. You got fuel to burn, right? And the Redskins want nothing more than to win that game, especially against the Packers. That could be their Super Bowl, dude.
Yeah, seriously. When you start 0-1, especially. I mean, as I said today at work, I don't ever want to say a Week 2 game is a must-win game. I mean, last year, coming into the Bear game in Week 2.
Yeah.
You don't want to call it a must-win game.
No.
But it kind of feels like a must-win game.
Isn't every Bear game
I mean, it's
a
not a division
game.
It's not a division game, which makes it a little bit better. But it still kind of feels like a must-win That's not. I know it's intellectually not. It's not.
You're part of the media. You're part of the media now.
This
so
is
now,
your
like,
whole
you
thing.
Get caught into
every
the vein
week,
of the thing.
Every
right?
week, is this is your accusation that I'm part of the media. I am still the same dude. I just get paid to be the
but
same
I'm
dude.
But I'm just saying, like, there's this whole media feedback loop, right?
Right.
And you can, like,
that I agree with.
You can enter it, and you can have, like, half your body, and you can be sometimes in it, and you sometimes out of it. But if you don't step back and see that that's the thing, it's like, it's so funny because. There's a whole vein of the stories that they want you, the stories to be
Absolutely.
About, right?
You know why?
Because they got to get viewers, so people watch it.
Exactly. You know why? Because people will... Okay, if we put up a headline that says, Aaron Rodgers great on third down, no one's clicking on that.
Nobody's clicking on it.
No one's clicking on that. Okay, except maybe like Geek Packer.
I might
like
click on it.
You and me and the people watching this here
I'd
program.
Probably, yeah,
they will click on,
click on that.
But you put up Aaron Rodgers wants to, you know, do something naughty with a chicken, they will all click.
Oh, yeah, that's on Deadspin.
Everybody
bro.
Clicks.
That's on Deadspin. That's viral.
Done. Later. Game over. So, you know.
It's true.
Don't blame the media for your insatiable appetite.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I guess. I mean,
that's all I'm
somebody's got to feed the beast, right? I hear your argument.
Yes, the people who want to be fed.
Yep.
All right, chicken or egg time here at Packer Transplants. All right, so let's get back to the game. Let's get back to, you know, let's talk a little bit more about the good stuff because I've railed on a little bit here now because I'm emotional.
I was trying to talk about the good stuff, so now you're ready for it.
I'm ready now.
That's interesting.
I've kind of you know.
I'm always ready for the good when it comes to the Packers.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm so happy this is here now because I'm gonna clip that and I'm gonna splice it. I'm gonna put it on a loop and I'm gonna like remember it for the rest of my life.
You can do that.
Okay, so yeah, yes. There was some good. There was some definite good on the offensive and defensive
side. Both sides, for sure. Both sides.
Special teams, Jeremy Ross, decision
Yikes.
Making, not so much. Jeremy Ross, why? What? Tyrone Walker, I wanted Tyrone Walker on this team. I thought Jeremy Ross was a waste of a roster spot. I'm not saying he proved me right, but he dipped a toe in the water of proving me right week one.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
But special teams, Maste, the good on that side.
Dude.
Maste.
Come right? on now.
So
both hitting the ball and tackling.
Dudes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on
sure.
now. When was the last time we had a kicker with some nastiness?
Yeah.
I mean, that kicker has more, like, you know, spunk and tenacity and tackling ability than some of the guys on our defense.
Yes, that's true.
All right, that's what we call hyperbole.
So defense.
All right, defense. All right. So let's
defensive line. Johnny Jolly, I thought, came back pretty strong.
Johnny Jolly, but it was exactly what I said it would be
of course.
Last week.
But that's good enough compared to last year, what we had last year. That's better than what we had last year.
They stopped the run, and Johnny Jolly was a big part of that. A surprise start for Jolly. Raji Pickett and Jolly absolutely owned up front. I mean, owned. I mean, they did work. Big Grease in particular. Ryan Pickett had a monster game. And as I said last week, people forget, in that playoff game, he got hurt early. I think it was the first or second drive of that game. And that affected
That's
what they wanted to
point.
Do
a That's
whole
a really
lot.
That's a good point, actually.
And then
I didn't realize that.
They come back in this game and absolutely own them on the ground. The problem is, you know, obviously the 49ers, they have these two tight end sets with Davis and McDonald. They did a lot of damage vertically. And so when they go to that two tight end set, Dom tends to kind of counter with his base.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, you don't get any push from the defensive line. You just don't. And, of course, obviously, part of that is they are told not to rush upfield, keep contain. You got killed by the read option last time you played this team, so don't absolutely go after it.
Yeah.
But even when it was apparent he was a pocket passer, he just had all day.
Yeah.
And if you give him all day, and you're playing zone on the back end, which Dom did the majority of the time, you're going to get picked apart. And I understand it's a pick-your-poison kind of situation.
Yeah.
I totally get that. But Dom never really got aggressive. I get you don't want to blitz him because you might get burned. But just throwing in there as a wrinkle. Go ahead and
I guess, but then you do what we did during the playoffs, and you're blitzing them on a
no,
on
but
a
that's
read
my point.
Or you're
that's
blitzing
my point.
Them on.
Here's my point. Yes.
That's what happened.
Dom didn't stop blitzing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He got burned and didn't adjust. He didn't adjust this time either. It was just the opposite way. He had this, majority, like 80, 90% zone coverages that, kept the eyes on the quarterback. Great.
Yeah.
But because the eyes were on the quarterback, they weren't on Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
They weren't on Vernon Davis.
Yeah, but don't you think... Okay, so, slow down. So moving into linebackers, right?
Right.
Inside, outside. You know, Clay Matthews had a great game.
Very good.
Even with the penalty.
I wouldn't say great, but it was a very good game.
It was pretty good.
It was an inspiring game. I will say that.
Yeah.
And I will say this to all the people.
When he can make 2 to 3 plays in a game, I call that a great game. Because how many people are making that many plays except for Aaron Rodgers on a consistent basis?
I got that. I hear that. I'm down with that. Here's the thing. I will say this. Because I got pushback on this on Twitter, and I think it's ridiculous. When Clay
Matthews... you get pushback about everything on Twitter?
Pretty much everything. But when Clay Matthews sacked Colin Kaepernick, got up, Kaepernick got up, and he screamed in his face and did like the whatever celebration thing he did.
Yeah, the taunting.
In his face.
That was taunting.
That was taunting. I'm sorry. That should have been a flag. And Clay's got to be smarter. And he admitted after the game he needs to be smarter.
Yeah, but okay, on one end, okay, here's how I am going to make the straw man, and then I'm going to defend him. So basically...
I love that you acknowledge that this will be a straw man.
On one side of that, what is the NFL market when it comes to Clay Matthews? The iconic
shot
of him opening his arms and basically like an animal, right? Mm-hmm. This Wolverine or whatever you want to call it, right? Just this just crazy
the
aggressive
predator,
stance.
I believe
the predator, right?
It as, yeah.
And how do you mix that? And that's the NFL's marketing.
Well,
they give the
NFL,
license.
Packers.
I guess.
Clay Matthews hasn't exactly shied away from it.
They're all culpable, though.
Right.
So
you're right.
If you allow that is your face, the refs kind of have to be a little more lenient, I would say.
I see.
So other fans wouldn't agree with that, and if I was another fan...
You would hate it.
I would
hate that. Was like an ultimate Courtland Finnegan moment. Like, if he's on your team, you're like, I love that guy. If that's someone on another team, you're like, I hate that.
Yeah, it's like Raposberger.
Douchebag.
It's like Raposberger.
Okay, slow down.
Sorry.
It's not even close to Raposberger, but all right. Wow. You took it there, dude. You took it there.
Sorry. It's
you did
like
the deep dive. Okay, we're going to do this like right now live.
What? Don't call Bedard.
No, I'm not. I'm getting a G-chat from work because I'm going to do work live right here.
Do
I am.
That. That's right. There's nothing interesting about that.
No, I know, but so I'll just cut it out in the podcast. Someone's asking me a question on G-chat for my work.
What are you doing? Olark chat for your work or something?
I'm live on the air.
On the interwebs?
Will respond in a second.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you know, I understand. Because we've got a Chip Kelly video that we need to get out tonight. So he's asking me a question. So it's all good. So, Clay Matthews, yep, absolutely. The defense in general, I understand the whole... want to get a little nastier. I mean, there have been calls for a more physical brand of football from the defense. But here's the thing. You can be nasty. You can hit guys, and you can take them down within the parameters of the game. And Clay Matthews flying, you know, airborne, taking out Kaepernick when he's clearly out of bounds, that's just stupid. It's not nasty. It's not intimidating. It's just dumb. As Kaepernick said after the game, you know, if intimidation is your game plan, I hope you have a better one. And I couldn't agree with that statement more.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it's just dumb. And, you know, I'm just going to leave that there because there's a lot more I could say, but I don't want to because I don't want to get in trouble. We should take a break.
All right, let's do
it. We got about 2 minutes, and then we're going to call Greg. And then when we come back, we'll be talking to Mr. Greg Bedard, Sound the Siren, here at Packer Transplants Live. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. Apparently on the line with Mr. Greg Bedard. Greg, how the hell are you tonight?
Boy, you guys are really spruced up the place since the last time I was
here. We do have the Bedard siren.
Bedard
though.
Siren, ladies and gentlemen!
Oh no,
it's not going to work. Oh,
what?
No.
It works.
Oh, look at that!
Yeah, there's
Bedard siren in the house!
I didn't bring the audio, but this is the original Bedard siren.
The original.
I actually keep it in the live stream studio. What's that?
It warms my heart.
Were you surprised at their ability to completely shut down the 49ers run game? I mean, that's the one thing. I knew they had been working on, you know, changing how they defended the run. Not just the read option, but the run. And, I was kind of in awe of their ability to completely take away Frank Gore.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, him behind that line, which is such... it's probably the most powerful offensive line in the league. And for them to hold their own up front, you know, from Raji to Pickett to Jolly to You know, I think the kid's name is Daniels.
Mike Daniels, yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Is that 96?
No, Dayton Jones is 96.
Who, 96. Dayton Jones and also Daniel. A lot of those guys, they really impressed me the way they were able to really hold the point of attack and get off blocks. I think that they, that kind of physicality, I think it surprised the 49ers. They weren't ready for the Packers to do that, and they really, the Packers really got in their face. I mean, you know, not literally on the sidelines, but, you know, play to play, they were really standing toe-to-toe to the 49ers. I don't think they're used to that, and I think it earns a lot of, it earned a lot of respect from the 49ers, because I did, you're absolutely right. They did a tremendous job against the run, and really filled their fits nicely. That was a bit of a surprise, but you know, it just it reminded me of the defense like 3 or 4 years ago when they were doing that really well. But it really helps when you have those big guys up front who are healthy and not worn down over the course of the season. I think we saw the Packers at their best up front, and it was pretty impressive.
How surprising is it to you? Obviously, you've been off the Packers beat for a while now, but you were here, I think, the last time Johnny Jolly took the field as a Green Bay Packer, and now to see him, I mean, you own that story from, you know, kind of the moment he was back down in Houston to all through his prison sentence and everything. I guess I won't say wonderful, but how just, you know, as someone who writes about the league and writes about, obviously, not only the X's and O's, but the storylines behind the game, what an incredible story Johnny Jolly is.
Yeah, and, you know, to tell you the truth, I didn't see a huge drop-off in his play.
Right?
You know, you saw him being active up front. You saw him chasing the ball all over the field. I mean, that's Johnny Jolly. I think some of the improvement that you saw in the defense was a result of his attitude and his being active and his enthusiasm. It's contagious at times up front, and I remember guys talking about that before he was suspended. But just for him to be back, I'm proud of him for him to be out there. I mean, I was down on him when I was writing those stories and researching him and really talking to people who knew him. I didn't have much hope for Johnny Jolly, because he just didn't get it. He didn't realize what was going on, and he didn't realize that he had a problem, and he didn't realize that he had an attitude problem, overall. And until he realized that, it wasn't going to be solved. So I guess it took him hitting rock bottom to finally realize, you know what? You know, what a lot of people have been telling me about, not going back to Houston and not doing this and that. You know what? They were looking out for my best interest, but I was too stupid to listen to them. Now I understand, and I'm getting a second chance, and I'm going to make the most of it. So, you know, I'm rooting for him. I hope he doesn't slip up again. I hope he has the right people around him this time, and I hope he never, ever goes back to Houston except for his court appointments, because that place has been nothing but trouble for him for a very long time.
I couldn't agree more. Okay, just to clear some confusion up, yes, 96 is Mike Neal. That's who you're thinking of. Mike Neal played outside linebacker a whole bunch. Dayton Jones is 95. Mike Daniels is number 76. I'm glad we got that all straightened out. Because it was driving
me nuts. Moving Neal to the outside is going to help against power teams. You know, I worry about them a bit against some of the smaller, quicker teams.
Right?
Are they going to have those guys on the outside that can handle that? I mean, they should be okay. But it's nice that they have some interchangeable pieces that can work against different styles of offense. And, you know, for them to square off against a power team like they did in the 49ers, that's a pretty good showing for them.
Let's look forward to this coming weekend and the Packers facing the Washington Redskins. Obviously, we all saw RG3 last night looking less than stellar in the first half, looking maybe, I guess, competent and passable in the second half. To me, this game comes down to, if the Redskins can't get going on offense early, like they couldn't against the Eagles, this is over by halftime. I think Rodgers and the offense will be able to move against the Redskins' defense. I think RG3 does not look near the explosive playmaker he was in 2012. I'd love to get your take on this.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that the Redskins were the first team that I saw on my training camp tour with Peter King, and I was not impressed. Not only, you know, for RG3 not being out there and some of the rustiness that he might have, but just overall. I mean, you know, it's not a great offensive line. His weapons aren't that good. The secondary is a mess with young guys.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, if they don't have Merriweather was out last week, even if he's back.
And Merriweather, just the idea that Merriweather is an upgrade over anyone is just scary for a Redskins fan.
Yes, you know, exactly. And, you know, I do think that they're pretty good in the front seven.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Jim Haslett is going to throw his blitzes and kitchen sink, but, you know, that plays just right into the Packers' hands and Rodgers' hands. So, you know, I really don't think the Packers are going to have much problem with the Redskins. I do think that, you know, this is more of a true test of the read option, and the Redskins are more of a true read option team in that they do a lot of the adjustments that the colleges do so that, you know, when you say, well, I'm just going to play assignment football and I'm going to kill the quarterback, you know, there are built-in things in the read option that the colleges do to take advantage of that outside aggressiveness. And the Packers could get caught a few times. So that's the only chance, really, that the Redskins have. If they can grind the ball out on the ground
right
against the Packers, they're going to have to extend the game because I think the Packers are going to be explosive in the passing game. And, I think that they'll be able to settle down eventually against the Redskins and hold them down.
I said the exact same thing in our season preview today at work. I said, the game preview at work today. I think it's absolutely a game of keep away. I think they have to get Morris going early or else Rodgers will shred them throughout. Let's take a step back a little bit. I'd love to get your perspective on this. As you were here when, you know, Rodgers first, you know, started up, I guess you'd say, and now we've seen some guys leave either via retirement or via free agency, and, you know, we've seen a whole lot of drama surrounding QB1. We've seen a whole lot of guys questioning his leadership, kind of poking holes in his character. You know, obviously, we're not in the locker room. We're geeks who have computers and watch football. We don't know anything.
True.
You were there. You were in the locker room. You have sources. You know guys in that locker room. What do you make of all this? What do you make of kind of the pushback? And I loved Mike McCarthy's kind of answer to it was that, well, that means Aaron's doing his job because he's ruffling feathers and, you know, he's being a leader. I'm not sure I buy that, but I like that response from McCarthy, and I'd love to get your take on that.
Yeah, well, I would start by saying it's overly complicated because, you know, in Jennings and Driver, those are the two guys that come to mind. Maybe there are more people that said some things. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, Jennings is a guy who the Packers really didn't want and didn't get what he wanted, what he thought he was going to get on the free agent market. So there are some built-in hurt feelings there.
Right.
And Driver kind of completely, you know, was a non-factor last year in his final year in the offense. I think that there's some hard feelings there as well, a little bit. I mean, you know, it was Driver knew the writing was on the wall, but I still think, you know, he wanted to go out a little bit better than that, and, you know, maybe he has some hard feelings. Now, that being said, you know, some of the stuff that they said, including, especially with what Jennings said, not about the, I'll get to the whole quarterback covering for his receiver.
I think there's
some truth to the stuff that Jennings said about Rodgers only hearing good things and praise from the coaches, because that was a huge problem in, I want to say it was 2009, when he was taking all those sacks,
right,
and Rodgers was saying the right thing about, I need to get rid of the ball quicker. But he didn't believe that. He didn't change any of his game. And it didn't change until there was a players-only meeting, and they let Rodgers have it, and then they went on the winning streak. So, yeah, I think there's some truth in that. Now, as far as what they were talking about with what Jennings and Driver were talking about as far as the quarterback covering, I think that's a little bit of a difference from, you know, the carryover from Favre to Rodgers. They just right. beat in a different way. I think that Brett took a lot of shrapnel for his receivers because he could. I mean, he was Brett Favre. He was untouchable.
Right.
And so he would say a lot of the things were my fault and just would go on the side and say, hey, you need to do this better. And that's not what Aaron really does. Now, who's to say what's right or what's wrong? I mean, it's just different. So I think there's some truth to it, but there's also some, you know, stop being a victim of circumstance. And I just think that the guys should just overall just keep from talking about it. It doesn't need to be talked about. But, you know, I'm not going to say that Jennings and Driver were wrong because I don't think they are. But I don't think that Rodgers is some guy who should be called out all the time. I don't. I think it's just a different guy. And I think you're going to hear a lot of these younger guys who only know Rodgers.
Right.
They're going to continue to say great things about him long after his playing career is over because that's what they're used to.
Right. When you pull back, and obviously you cover the league now, you're working for the spiffy new website over there at Sports Illustrated, themmqb.com, riding around all over the country with Mr. Peter King and some tricked out RV, which, by the way, has been Corey and my dream.
That's like the Cheesehead TV. That's how we started.
The Cheesehead TV dream. You know, we just want to ride around a bus and cover the Packers for our lives.
Do live shows.
But, you know, that said, the fact that you're living the dream, forget all that. But you look at the NFL now. You look at this concussion settlement. You look at the settlement of the suit that was brought. Obviously, almost instantly, I think less than 24 hours later, there was another suit brought. Because I don't think that will ever end. Well, maybe not ever. But I think it'll be a long time until the league kind of buries this, completely. Was that the last thing standing in the way of the NFL? I mean, if you look at the NFL, obviously there was a spate of articles about, you know, this could spell the end of the league. This could the football's future hangs in the balance, etc. Well, now it's done. It's over. They've settled. Now the new TV money is right around the corner. I mean, are these like the absolute halcyon days for the NFL?
The golden age.
Yeah, I would say so. I think that really the only thing standing in the way of the NFL is, you know, I think the trickle down effect of these concussion lawsuits on, you know, the place where the game is grown, you know, youth football and high school football.
Right.
I mean, are those leagues going to be priced out of insurance? Is this sport going to become a rich person sport because, you know, some of the poor districts where, let's face it, most of the top NFL players come from, can they not afford to have leagues? Can they not afford to
have programs? Right.
So, you know, I think that's basically the only thing standing in the way of the NFL. But, it's a great sport. They know it's a great sport. They're sometimes they get too full of themselves, including this
sometimes.
New York Super Bowl.
Right.
They think they are infallible and nothing can touch them. But, something will at some point. But I think it's a ways down the road.
Mr. Greg Bedard from themmqb.com.
Did he just take a dig at the New York Super Bowl, though?
He sure
did. Hold on. We're in Manhattan. We can't just, like, totally... We can't completely just... Oh, yeah, hey, thanks for being on the show, Greg.
Wait, the Boston guy took a shot at New York?
Wow.
I'm shocked.
That was, like, such an underhanded dig, and then I just, like, let it go by, and I couldn't do it.
Not in good conscience.
No.
You've been put on notice, sir.
The Super Bowl in New York, I think, is going to be one of the most amazing things. But you and I have actually had this conversation in Dallas, so it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that one was miserable, too.
Right?
Ooh, that was a terrible place to have a Super Bowl.
But this is my point.
Couldn't deal with the ice in Dallas.
No,
we can
deal with it in New York.
We can deal with anything. We do it on New Year's Eve.
A Super Bowl could be miserable anywhere.
Yep.
And it was in Dallas.
It was.
Except for the game, obviously.
Yep.
So
and hanging with Bedard. I mean, that was
obviously.
Fun.
Obviously, in the picture that accompanied the post that pubbed the show tonight, I have a great shot of Greg and I at Will's Northwoods
in Chicago.
The night before the NFC Championship game in 2010.
That's the number three most searched term when you do Greg Bedard, is you and Bedard. Image.
That's kind of
scary. That was scary.
That is kind of scary. That whole package is kind of scary. Anyway, Greg Bedard, you're an absolute legend. Thank you so much for coming on with his own siren. The Bedard sound, the Bedard siren, or at least put it up on the screen.
At least we can get a visual.
Because there's no sound.
The original.
The podcast people have to suffer. Greg, thank you so much for coming on, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. I miss Packers fans, and I'm hoping that if it's not this season, then maybe next season, Patriots at Packers, I might have to make a return because I miss Wisconsin. I miss Green Bay. And I'm looking forward to coming back. I miss everybody up there. So thanks for having me. And thanks for being supportive of my career and my various stops. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Greg. You're the man. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, Greg.
Sounds good. See you guys.
That's Mr. Greg Bedard.
Sorry about his audio. That's completely my fault. Aaron will have to fix that for the podcast.
Aaron's going to be here late.
I actually got it to a good place by the end.
By the middle.
It still wasn't where I wanted it to be. And let's actually, he's not on the air anymore, so we'll take his lower third out. And I realized I couldn't go to my quad look because I was in a graphic.
This moment of geekery brought to you by Corey Banky.
Speaking of geekery, you know what we need to do, right?
Is it that time?
It's that time.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right, it's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series.
Yeah,
This week I want to talk about something.
This week, and
I got something I want to say.
Let's talk about it.
I got to say something about the Packers Blogosphere. Let me lay it down like this. What is with all these Packers bloggers offering their services up to some Milwaukee TV station? What is going on? Including our very own Jamie Snowden.
Wait, I missed this.
What is going on? All of a sudden, John Rahor, Jamie Snowden, all these people
follow on
Twitter.
They're all writing for some
Milwaukee TV station.
I saw that.
Give them your clicks, people. Let me tell you something now. Let me break it down. Local TV is dying to be relevant on the internet. And they're coming to you for the sweet internet love.
Yeah,
don't give it away.
We've got local TV news on live stream. It's pretty cool.
Don't give it away. Dudes, I'm just saying. You don't need that. You don't need them. They don't love you like you love them. Don't give it away. Build your brand.
Get a quad box.
Get a quad box. Get some live stream.
You can get a live stream broadcaster. We got a little
right here available for
$4.95.
Right there. Do your thing.
You can broadcast live.
You don't need them. You think you do, but they don't.
You don't. But I will say, for a guy who has audio issues.
No, but that's my point. I'm not talking about broadcasting. I'm just talking that people are writing for them. Don't write for them. Write for yourself.
It's true.
Write for the passion.
Or write for Cheesehead TV.
Write for the love. We're accepting the applications at all times. But I'm just saying.
You're just saying.
Don't give away the honey.
So I think we should wrap it up here.
I think it's time to wrap it up. And I think we have to miss next week's show. Is that right?
Yeah. So I'll be in England all week next
week. Corey Banky is going to be...
Sorry.
Hello.
Just as we were getting going.
We were getting it going. Fixing audio problems.
You can see the growth in our graphics system.
We got graphics going. We got a big ass live behind us. We're ready to go. And Corey goes to England.
So, hopefully we'll be 1-1. And so the next time
we convene, we'll hopefully be 2-1.
We
beat the Redskins and the Bengals.
2-1.
So
2-1.
Hopefully. Next time we talk to you. So thank you so much to everyone for showing up. Obviously, thank you so much to Greg Bedard from themmqb.com. He's an absolute legend. I'm telling you, cannot get enough of his stuff. He breaks it down like no one else. Thank you to everyone on the live blog. You guys are absolutely amazing.
In the chat. Thank you.
You guys keep it alive.
And, I want to make an announcement. Game Day live blogs are for the full season. So
we're back, baby.
I was going to kill it, and everybody got mad at me. And so basically, it's back.
Corey's going to go out of the country, and we're all just going to like invade GZTV. That's what we do. So anyway, not back next week. Following week, we'll be back. Thank you so much. Packers, take down the Redskins, then take down the Bengals. Go, Pack, go. We'll see you in 2 weeks.